I'd like to go into the update 2042, which you have received. The first one, actually, after the feast. The editorial was written by Dave Harris, entitled Nevertheless. And I'd like to read one portion from it. He says in there, it isn't too difficult to find many other scriptures, he just quoted a few, which explain exactly why God allows us to go through trials. The point is this, God may not remove the ordeal immediately, but if we keep trusting him, he will bring us through the trial. Whilst in Germany, to copy Mr. Gale, I had quite a few discussions with members and visitors about the trials they are going through. And I was also impressed by the messages over there, which did deal with trials, with suffering for righteousness' sake, with suffering for Jesus Christ. And overall, the picture which was given was, it's an honor. It's an honor to suffer for Jesus Christ. Now, that may not be all that pleasant to consider, but it's true. Suffering has a reason, and we all go through suffering, and some more than others, but there's always a reason there. And yes, as Mr. Harris points out in the editorial, sometimes we may have a question, well, is God really listening to us? Is he interested in us? Is he really answering our prayers? Is he way off someplace? Because the answer is obviously he's not. So the focus I like to point out right now is that when we go through sufferings, and we will, we should not become discouraged, as many have become discouraged and some have left the church over it. We should never make that mistake. And I have a lot to say about that in a moment in the sermon. But going on with the current events, we point out that there are dramatic events in Britain, including Liz Truss' resignation as Prime Minister and her replacement with Rishi Sunak, whose appointment has been described as historic, but with the caveat that none of what is happening in Britain constitutes good news for the country. And of course, I have done a standing watch program titled Britain's Fall is Inevitable. And I've also done a German Auf Posten stehen program with the same topic, because what we have been saying for years, I mean for decades, in a sense for almost like a century, is coming true now. Great Britain is falling. And I see nothing on the horizon which will prevent that from happening. I mean nothing. And again, this is also going to be a little bit more discussed in the sermon. We have then several articles about the growing fear of nuclear war, including Russia, which will indeed occur, that nuclear war, including and involving Russia, will occur, but not in the way which is anticipated by most observers. It's also pointed out that Russia considers Europe as part of the Russian-Ukrainian war. And in this regard, there's another Standing Watch program, which I did before the feast, which was posted, titled, How and When Will There Be Worldwide Nuclear War? Notice the question, how and when? See, it's a foregone conclusion, there's going to be nuclear war. And we have that program also in Germany, which has a lot more views, because they are much closer to what's going on over there. And the fear is mounting that there's going to be nuclear war involving Germany. And there will be, but not before other events will take place first. Now, we also talk about Benjamin Netanyahu's attempts to return as prime minister. The election is going to take place on Tuesday, November the 1st. Now, according to the press releases as we have them by now, he would be one member short of being able to form a government. But the opposition party, which is right now in power, there are a few members short. So if Netanyahu gets one more supporter, he would be able to form the next government. But it will be, again, a very shaky one, because he will have such a slim majority. So we'll have to observe a little bit as to what is happening over there, but it doesn't appear like this new election will really constitute a new government. And then we have more fiasco and more problems over there in Israel. Of course, Boris Johnson tried to become the next prime minister, but then he stepped down when he saw that he didn't have the support, which he should have had. But he said, well, I'm not going away. He said, I'm going to come back when the new elections are going to take place in 2024, unless they take place earlier, because Sunak may or may not be holding that post that long. So Standing Watch goes into that and the problems involving him. And just this morning, more problems were revealed about what he's trying to do, taxing the people even more and more highly, and that has already created some stir over there in Great Britain. Of course, we all know about Mr. Donald Trump. He hasn't made this announcement yet, but it's a foregone conclusion that he is going to run for the presidency again. And Mr. Biden said he is going to challenge him, so it's going to be a Biden-Trump rematch if everything goes as planned. It may not go that way. But these are three people I have been watching, as you know, Trump, Johnson, and Benjamin Netanyahu. Who knows whether they still have a future? And if they do, we need to watch that carefully. Now, when we go through the current events, the week in the news, I like to point out just one article, if I can find it here. I had marked it, I think, and if I haven't marked it, then I'm not going to point it out. While I'm going through it, trying to find this article, we also pointed out that France has stated that they are not going to get involved in any situation between Russia and Ukraine if Russia should use nuclear weapons. They said that they are not looking at this as a threat towards France, and therefore they're not going to get involved. In other words, they have given, again, a green light to Putin. Now, the one I wanted to point out is the fact, and listen carefully, the fact that a third temple is going to be built in Jerusalem before Christ comes back. Now, there are some stiff-necked people out there who absolutely deny the obvious, absolutely reject what the Bible clearly reveals, even though if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, and look at the news as they are being progressing, it's very clear. And as a matter of fact, in the sermon I'm going to give in a few minutes, that will also be pointed out from the Bible. So what I found interesting in this article published by Israel 365 News, that the Jews know exactly who the Levites are. Now, we've said that before. They have their lists. They clearly can identify the Levites, and you need the Levites in order to begin with the temple service. So that's not an issue. The instruments and everything they need for the temple, they're all already produced. They are ready. All what is necessary is to build that temple. The blueprints are ready too. Now, that could happen, and I thought maybe 6 months, but when I talked to Mr. Hahnstein over there, who is, of course, involved in manufacturing and architecture and other kind of stuff, he said, oh, it's going to be much less than that, much less than that. So anyhow, that's something to definitely watch and observe, and it can happen very, very quickly. The Q&A, it's a two-part Q&A, written by Mr. Gale. And it has a title that was a question: don't you emphasize the end times too much when there still seems to be plenty of time left? That's part one. And part two is going to be published this week, and I already obviously saw it. And it goes more into this issue. Now, that is what I wanted to go into a little bit today, because I also had discussions in Germany and talks to a few people about how are we to look at the times we are living in, the Great Tribulation, the Day of the Lord, the return of Christ. Of course, what we do know for sure is we are not supposed to set dates, not even indicate dates. Every time people have set dates, they have been wrong. The latest date I heard was that Christ would come back in 2017 or so, but that didn't happen. Now a minister whom I know, actually, he is leading another church, he has said that now that we have already reached the 1,335 days, which I mentioned in the book of Daniel. Another complete utter nonsense. But this is what's being postulated, that's what's being preached, that's what's being talked about. Now, when I came to the church, I was baptized in 1974. I came to the tail end of the story, because as you probably have known and heard, those of you who have been in the church longer know that anyhow, there was this idea at one time that 1975 was a year when Christ would come back. And I was asked about that too, but how come that even came up? And it had to do with all kinds of speculation. It had to do with some time cycles, 19-year time cycles, and so on. And people constructed that in such a way that 1975 seemed to be a logical idea. Of course, 1975 came and went. 1972 was a year when we were all supposed to go to the place of safety, and of course that didn't happen. But the problem is the disillusionment. When 1972 came and went, people were shocked because they were wrong with their ideas, because they had not lived their life as they should have. They had given up pursuing a career. They had said, well, why should I continue as a student, young child? Why should I continue getting good grades in school? It's going to be all over pretty soon anyhow. Why should I study? Why should I go to university? Why should I put any effort in studying there? Because it's going to be all over pretty soon anyhow. People refrained from getting married, saying, okay, let's not get married because it's going to be over pretty soon anyhow. They refrained from having children because it's going to be over pretty soon anyhow. Well, that was 1975. Now it's 2022. Think about it. If I would have taken that position when I came to the church, oh, well, I'm not going to get married. I'm not going to have children. My children wouldn't exist. My grandchildren wouldn't exist. So what kind of a foolish concept that would have been? The point is, we don't know, and Mr. Gate is going to point this out in the Q&A, this one, the next one. We don't know when Christ will return. Christ makes it very clear, even he doesn't know. It's the Father who knows, because the Father is the one who makes that decision. Even the Father may not know yet. The Father is going to make this decision based on circumstances, based on whether we are delaying or accelerating the return of Christ, because we have an impact, we have an influence, can have an influence on the timing of Christ's return. Christ will be brought back at the time when God the Father says, if I don't send him back now, mankind will completely and totally destroy themselves. We don't know when that's going to be. It also says that God doesn't want anyone to perish, anyone of the church members to perish, but that all of the church, Peter's talking about, want to come to repent, should come to repentance. He's not talking about the entire world here, because he knows the entire world will not repent prior to Christ's return. But he wants you and me to be ready, so that when Christ returns, we are ready. Now, of course, his patience is not limitless, and there's going to come a time when he says, okay, now is the time whether this person repents or not. Okay, but he wants all of us to repent. He wants all of us to have the time to repent. But as I said, time may run out. The famous saying by Martin Luther, whether he actually did say it or whether it was just attributed to him, we don't know, but this is pretty much in English what he would have said. Even if I knew that the world would perish tomorrow, I would still plant an apple tree today. Now, why did he say that? What did he mean if he said it? But what is the meaning of it? The meaning of it is that Christ gives us the power and the strength to look at the future in a positive way, with total trust in God. So here's the point. We should never live our life. I'm saying this to the young people, those who are here, those who are listening in, to the teenagers, to young adults, to old people like me, and others in front of me are even older than me, believe it or not. We should never live our life as if there's no tomorrow. We should live our life with the view in mind we have our whole entire life ahead of us. And that means doing all the things you would have to do if you have your entire life ahead of you. That means growing up. That means if you're old enough, getting married. If you're old enough, getting baptized. If you're old enough, having children. Don't ever think, oh, well, no, it's no longer the time to get married. I've been telling members in Germany, of course, they want to get married, and of course I said, well, you've got to be ready for getting married. I mean, you may not be ready. But if the time comes, God will provide a mate for you. Don't make the mistake in going ahead of God. And, you know, one issue was mixed marriages. And there are some people there who don't quite understand our position on mixed marriages. Well, our position is very clear. So don't jump ahead and say, oh, well, God is not going to provide a person of my race, so I'm going to marry somebody of another race. Or God is not going to provide a person who is baptized, so I'm just going to marry somebody who is not baptized. The Bible says don't do that. The Bible says that is not the way you should handle your situation. But once you are ready, once God thinks you are ready, he will provide a person who is going to be your helpmate if you are a man, and who is going to be, you know, your husband if you are a woman. Because marriage is between a man and a woman, believe it or not. Not between two men, not between two or three or four, whatever, women. Having said that, at the same time, while you are focusing on your entire life, don't make the mistake like people have done in 1972, saying, oh, it's going to be over soon, so therefore, what should I put effort into doing what I should be doing? No, don't make that mistake. Because we don't know when Christ is going to come back. When Christ says, nobody knows. When Christ says, I will come back at a time when you do not expect it, what does it tell you? Well, he's going to come back at a time when you don't expect it. But having said that, you have to also live your life as if you're going to be dead tonight. Because in your case, Christ may come back within the next second of your consciousness. In other words, are you going to be ready? You don't know when you die. I don't know when I die. Am I going to be ready? Well, some people have said to me, well, I don't think I'm ready yet. Well, I said, okay, then get ready. Get ready. Because, again, Christ could come back tonight when it comes to you, your life. You can go outside. You can have a car accident. You may die. The next second of your consciousness, you're alive again, standing in front of Christ. So that is the proper perspective. Live your life as if you have an entire lifespan ahead of you. But also live your life in the way that you are ready if you have only a few more years, a few more months to live. Now, that is probably easier said than done, but think about it. When you get married, when you have children, those children are going to be sanctified. They're going to be set aside by God for a holy purpose. Our children, when we got married, my wife and I, were sanctified. They grew up in the faith. Not perfectly so. Nobody is perfect. But they were sanctified by God. And now they're in the church. Now they're both ministers. If our young people have enough years to go forward, they may get married. They may have children. The hope is, of course, they will be baptized and will be in the church. Getting baptized or getting married, I should say, to a lady who is also in the church. They have children. Their children are going to be sanctified. They're going to be set aside for the holy purpose of having contact with God. Because, see, most people today don't have any contact with God. Cannot have any contact with God. They're cut off. They're cut off from God the Father. And only those whom God draws have contact with God. And only those whom God sanctifies have contact with God. But I want to give one more thought for you to consider. If you are called, if you are entering the body of Christ, you had been preordained by God before you ever were born. In fact, God says before even there was any time that you would exist and that God would call you in this day and age. So Are we stepping ahead of God saying, oh, I'm not going to get married anymore? Maybe God has that in mind. Maybe he wants you to have a child because that child is going to be sanctified. Maybe God has already preordained, depending on how much time you have left, that that child is going to be a baptized member later on and a born-again member later when Christ returns. The point I try to make is, let's not make the mistake of jumping from one extreme to the next. Live a balanced life. Do what you need to do. Have fun in your life if you're a young person. Don't become disillusioned. Don't become frustrated. Don't become like somebody who says, oh, what's the purpose? I mean, it's going to be over pretty soon. Yes, the sermon, which I'm going to give in a few minutes, will go into that. It will also talk about the duty the church has. But let's not forget that perspective so that we are people who are full of joy and happiness, looking with enthusiasm into the future, because that is what it takes. That is what we all should consider.